Which of us has the better Superman movie?
Let's find out.
This is Written By.
Welcome to Written By, the number one show in the world.
Right behind all the other ones. We have to go through like all shows now, not just podcasts. So, first arrival pitch episode of the season. We are going to be pitching Superman movies to y'all. If you don't know how this works, each of us are going to pitch what we would do if we were handed the keys to the Superman franchise. Yeah. And you, the audience, get to decide in the comments who you think had the best pitch. We're competing head-to-head, and we will tally up the total winners at the end of the season.
This is kind of timely.
Yeah.
Because at the time of this recording, we are 1 week away from the new James Gunn DCU Superman movie starts filming.
Oh, wow.
Starts filming 1 week from today.
I didn't know that. You want to know, I'll go in and say this now. I had a complete brain fart moment. I was like, I need to think of a good title for
my Superman movie. Yeah.
It's like, you know what would be a good title? It deals with some themes in my movie, Superman Legacy. And I was like, that's too good. I'm going to Google it. That's the title of the movie.
Yeah.
They're about to film.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
I completely forgot about
that. Oh, okay.
And I was like, oh, that's my idea.
Hey, great minds. You know, that means you might be cooking. You might be cooking here. Yeah. I'll give you my title.
Okay.
Shadows Over Metropolis.
That's an intriguing title.
Because mine's not a... I don't know. There's enough Superman.
Yeah.
You know, there's Superman 1 through 4.
Yeah.
Superman Returns.
Mm-hmm.
Superman, what's the Zack Snyder one? Oh, Man of Steel.
Man of Steel, yeah.
Batman versus Superman. So I just did one without Superman in the title.
I like that, yeah. Well, I am very intrigued. I think you should just get on into your pitch.
All right, I'll go first. Okay. Movie opens with a little title screen that says 1940.
Okay.
My movie takes place in 1940.
Okay.
We see the skyline of Metropolis, and it's all in black and white. This isn't the bright and futuristic city that it becomes later. You see skyscrapers currently being built. Yeah. All right, there's a lot of construction going on. Think like, you know, 1940s New York, or whenever they were building the Empire State Building or whatever.
Yeah.
That time where there's just the building. This is a time where Metropolis is in the early stages.
Sure.
The camera kind of takes us through underground Metropolis, and we see that these construction workers, not all of them are what they seem. You know, we see some gangsters. We see, like, you know, like the rough ones, but we also see, like, the big mafia guys with the nice suits and then the hats. And camera kind of takes us into this room. We see a bunch of people tied up. We see a group of these gangsters or mobsters, whatever you want to call them, and we just see some Tommy guns fire. I want to take a second to explain that this is not like a dark, gritty Superman movie.
Okay.
It's live action, but it's very cartoony.
Yeah.
It's very like, if you were to do an animated like film noir, it's in black and white,
okay.
But it's like very the cartoony.
The whole movie's in black and white.
Well, I'll get there.
Okay, cool.
So, don't think that this is like a Christopher Nolan or a Matt Reeves Batman style thing.
Yeah.
It's very cartoony. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you see the Tommy guns and they say stuff like, tell Luther it's done. Tell the boss. So one of them does say, you know, hey, tell Luther it's done after they shoot this group of people. We cut from there to a small red truck driving into the city. It passes the Welcome to Metropolis sign. And we follow this red truck through town until it arrives at this like rundown apartment building.
Yeah.
The driver steps out and it's nerdy Clark Kent. Glasses and all, he struggles to get his bags out of the truck bed. He makes his way up the stairs. He's struggling. He's clumsy. He gets to the room. He closes the door. He looks around the apartment. And it's like, you know, it's furnished, but it's empty.
Yeah.
And then flash. All of his stuff is put away in an instant. You know, he's got stuff on the walls now. He's got, it looks like a home. Mm-hmm. And it was that fast. And we just see him kind of standing at his closet. And it's full of clothes. And he places one last thing in the closet. And we don't see it. We don't see what he's putting in the closet. But it's bursting with color. and it's flashing onto his face. So everything's black and white, but this is the first time we see some color, and it's just kind of like remnant light from whatever he's putting in the closet. Nice. Now, can you guess what it is? We then have, like, you know, the title screen, Superman, whatever. We come back, and so basically, here's the rundown of my movie. It follows Clark Kent, who has just moved to Metropolis. He's got a brand new job as a reporter at the Daily Planet. He gets partnered up with Lois Lane, and Lois Lane is currently trying to write an expose on the mysterious accidents that keep happening to these buildings that are under construction in the city. Stuff like, you know, like these skyscrapers are mid-construction and they blow up and they crumble to the ground. And, you know, these statues and buildings are being vandalized and destroyed. And someone is trying to stop the progress of the city. Spoiler alert. Because it's not a mystery. The movie's not a mystery. We know what's going on. But we find out that the mayor of Metropolis, Lex Luthor, has been, you know, he's been the savior. He's the one that has brought the booming business to Metropolis.
Yeah.
He is the saving grace. He has kept Metropolis from being like that slum neighborhood Gotham City. You know, he's going to save Metropolis.
Yeah.
Turns out, of course, he's actually kind of the head of organized crime in the city. Mm-hmm. And he's purposely destroying all of the progress that he himself is making, right?
Okay.
So it makes himself look great as the mayor because he's bringing in the growth. He's the sympathetic face when things go wrong. And he's like, we will continue to fight. We will, you know, he's doing all that. He's like a crooked politician thing. But he's destroying everything so that way he can keep it a dangerous place for his crime organizations.
Yes.
And, you know, he's able to, you know, he's essentially like a giant landlord. And he's just getting money from everybody.
Yeah.
And very 1940s film noir, Chinatown.
We hate landlords.
Yeah.
This is the Superman movie I need. Is Superman taking down a landlord?
That's the one everyone needs right now.
You need a cameo from the rent is too damn high guy.
Oh,
you need
to
bring him back.
Yeah, people are like chanting in the street and it's him.
Yeah.
Meanwhile... You know, so that's kind of the rundown of what's happening. Yeah. We'll get some integral scenes of, like, explaining that. But meanwhile, you know, Superman has arrived to the city out of nowhere. Like a missionary leaving their small town to save the sinners in the big city, Clark has left Smallville, and he's made his way to Metropolis to try and clean up all the crime. Inspired by Mayor Luthor.
Yeah.
Right? And, this is not an origin story for Superman. Like, everything that happens in, you know, Smallville has already happened. He's got the suit.
Yeah.
He is a full-fledged hero. But this is the story of, like, him moving to the big city where he works at the Daily Planet and everything. And he's very, like, Boy Scout.
Yeah.
Like, I'm here to save the day. And, you know, he's going to kind of learn that the world... It is a bad place sometimes.
Okay.
And not that he has to not be a goody two shoes, because I think that's who Superman is.
Yeah.
But that's what makes it even better is that he is like that despite the world still kind of being a bad place.
Yeah.
So, Superman has been showing up and kind of stopping some of these defamations of buildings and destructions and stuff. And it the appearances where Superman shows up is full color. When Superman shows up, or, you know, when Clark Kent is dressed as Superman and he shows up, those scenes are in full color. And that's kind of showing the brightness and the hope of what Metropolis will be.
Yeah.
That's what Superman brings to the city. But his appearances are pretty closely tied to the articles that Lois Lane and Clark Kent have been putting out each week, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, they put out an expose article kind of like talking about this building and who is the people working on it. Oh, how this construction crew seems to be affiliated with the crime organization that was seen, you know, here, that kind of stuff, journalism stuff. And so Lex Luthor kind of puts two and two together and realizes because Superman shows up the same places with these articles, he thinks that maybe she has something to do with it and he kidnaps her. The movie, I want the movie to play with like all the best parts of Superman. So like his secret identity is like a key part of the movie.
Yeah.
So it's like he's trying to keep Lois from realizing he's Superman. Yeah. He's trying to keep Lex Luthor from realizing that Clark Kent is Superman. You know, I think that's when the Superman movies are at its best. Yeah. And that's the thing that a lot of superhero movies have lost. Like the MCU did away with the secret identity.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's kind of like the most important part.
Yeah, of some heroes, definitely. Yeah, and Clark Kent is one of them.
Right, Batman, Superman, Spider-Man.
Even though he has the flimsiest disguise out of all of them.
Right, but I think that's what makes it so interesting, right? Is like, I saw this tweet that was like, there's this guy that works at Target, and he looks exactly like Terry Crews. But I don't want to be the one that says to this random black guy, hey, you look like Terry Crews. Because why would Terry Crews be at Target working a register, right? Yeah. So it's like that's the reason no one thinks Clark Kent is Superman. Because why is Superman working in this office?
Everyone's just like, oh, you look a lot like Superman. He's like, yeah, I get that a lot.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's what makes it fun. So, and like the big climax, instead of like it being a big battle where he's fighting, you know, it's like a fight scene. The big climactic battle is like Superman stopping the biggest skyscraper that's being built from being blown up with Lois inside of it, right? Mm-hmm. Lex Luthor's tied her up in there. He's about to blow up this whole giant skyscraper. Yeah. And the big battle, quote unquote battle, is actually him just trying to save it. So he gets Lois to safety and he thinks he defuses the bomb. And he has that kind of Boy Scout moment of, if you just do good, things will work out. And then the building blows up anyway because there was a second bomb.
Yeah.
And so instead of it being a fight scene, it's mostly it's he's flying around trying to catch pieces of the building. He's helping people who were hit or affected by the pieces that he couldn't stop. Mm-hmm. And he's also trying to stop all of the chaos that the gangsters are committing while the explosion is going down. Because this was going to be the final nail in the coffin of the city. Basically, it got to the point, like we find out in some scenes with like Lex Luthor, that essentially these developers were like, if another incident like this happens, we're all pulling out. Mm-hmm. We're all leaving Metropolis. And so Luthor planned for not only this building to blow up and it to really put an end to the developers coming, but he's also got all of his mobsters and everything ransacking the city's small businesses, and that's including the Daily Planet. And so we have, like, you know, there's a big scene where Clark Kent is in the Daily Planet, turns into Superman, you know, that kind of thing. Yada, yada, yada. Superman's flying all over the place trying to save the city, try to help people that need help, these small businesses, the big businesses, you know, everybody. He's just trying to save everybody, and it's so much for one person. But, and you know, like, he doesn't succeed, right? Mm-hmm. Like, he doesn't stop the building from being blown up. He can't save every single person. People died in the building, you know. Mm-hmm. But he's just trying to, like, help in the aftermath of it.
Yeah.
And everything's in full color at this point, and it doesn't go back to black and white. And after it's all said and done, you see, like, Lex Luthor is in his office in City Hall, and he's looking at a newspaper in, you know, full color, picture of Superman saving the city, quote unquote. And he's got his like assistant or whatever in the room with him. And he's like, I guess we weren't planning for a Superman, huh? Mm-hmm. And Lex Luthor was like, it doesn't matter. We blew up the building. All of the developers are pulling out as we speak. And then the phone rings. The henchman assistant guy picks up the phone and he's like, ah, it's the contrary, boss. We're getting offers from everyone in the state. Everyone wants to live in the city of Superman. And then you see Lex Luthor kind of turn and look out the window, and his face is just, you can just, like, he's very upset. And then that's kind of the movie, but I think it sets up like, okay, now Lex Luthor has got to stop Superman.
Yeah.
That leads to him finding Kryptonite. You know, this is what starts their rivalry.
Yeah.
And although he didn't save the day and he didn't save everyone, he gave the city hope, and everything's in full color now. And these businesses want to be in the city of Superman. And that's what leads to the Metropolis that you see in the comic books when Superman is like.
Nice.
Yeah.
So it sort of is an origin story, but instead of for Superman. It's for the city.
The city. Yeah.
It was cool.
I think it was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. I like taking a classic approach to Superman. You'll see in my pitch, I was thinking along those same lines, definitely.
Heck yeah.
I think that's what we need. We've had too many of the dark, I'm a god Superman.
Well, I think the issue is like, and this is kind of just how like art goes, right? When there's hard times, art kind of reflects that and everything's dark and gritty for a little bit.
Yeah.
But then it gets to the point where everyone's just so sad that we don't want to watch sad stuff anymore.
Exactly.
And that's when you start getting more colorful, hopeful movies like the 80s, you know, the 70s to 80s.
Yeah. Like you kind of get both when hard times come. It's like, do you want to, it's people reflecting their vision of the future, and whether they're reflecting a hopeful or a pessimistic view of the future can kind of predict what's going to happen.
Yeah. Which,
you know, as of like the past few years, we've gotten a lot of the pessimistic side.
Yeah.
The dark superheroes, post-apocalyptic, zombie stuff, and
Oppenheimer.
Yeah. You know, the eat the rich for all doomed movies kind of thing. Is like,
because that's how everybody feels.
Yeah, yeah. But also, like, there is a, if you can make a symbol of hope, like 1960s Superman, that's,
yeah,
I'm gonna help things along.
Look, I don't want to say I nailed this, but I'll let you guys say it.
Yeah,
make sure you vote in the comments below, and on Instagram.
That's right. Yeah. All right.
All right. I'm excited to hear your pitch.
Yeah, yeah. So my Superman pitch. We're thinking along the same lines of a lot of that stuff, because part of what's cool about Superman or comic book Superman is that he's such a Boy Scout. Mm-hmm. He's such a do-gooder. He's kind of just an all-around dork. He's just in a really hot body, you know?
Yeah, but, that hot body, exactly. Baby.
But when, and that's why the alter ego of Clark Kent works so well for him, is he could play the nerd so well, because in his soul, he is one.
He's like, you know, not to bring up Henry Cavill in a Superman conversation, but that's kind of like how Henry Cavill is as a person.
Yeah.
He's super nerdy, but he's jacked.
Yeah, yeah. Apparently he plays a lot of Warhammer.
And, yeah.
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 But, I want to get at that, but there's also the other side of recent interpretation of Superman, with Superman grappling with the fact that he is all powerful and he's more powerful than every single other person on Earth, and kind of the pressure and the toll that it takes on him. And I don't particularly like the execution of those questions in like the Snyder movies, but I do think it's an interesting angle for Superman. So I kind of tried to get the best of both in this, because, so we're going to open, and it's this dude, and he's walking in the middle of the Arctic.
Oh, nice.
It's snowing. There's a big blizzard.
Yeah.
He's got on his, like, Eskimo hood and his giant goggles. Yeah. He walks up to basically this Arctic base that looks like the one in The Thing.
Oh,
he
yeah.
He walks inside. It's like, I got caught in the blizzard. I'm late. And he's like, hey, it's all good. I'm going to go out in the morning. The next day he gets up and he's just walking around the Arctic. You know, we're seeing snow. We're seeing penguins, polar bears, glaciers. Yeah. He comes across a giant cave and he walks inside. And inside the cave are just the remnants of someone who's been living there for a long time. And at the very end of it, we see a man sitting with his back turned towards us. And our guy is like, Clark, is that you? And he turns around, but it's not the Clark Kent we know.
Oh, no.
He's a little older. He has a giant beard. He's just let grow out. And he has a deep sorrow in his eyes. He hasn't spoken to anyone in forever. It's like, Jimmy, what are you doing?
Oh, it's
here?
Jimmy Olsen?
Yes, Jimmy Olsen.
Oh, sick.
Which I will say right off the bat, I don't know like that much about Jimmy Olsen, but I know that he was a journalist at the Daily Planet, and he's transformed into a bunch of different things.
He's Jimmy Olsen, Superman's best friend.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But it's Superman's best friend. And I should say that Jimmy Olsen looks a lot older than Superman. Like, Superman looks older and more grizzled, but it's more so just... Yeah. He's let go of his facial hair and he's not wearing a suit or anything. We're going to play with the fact that since Superman is this really powerful alien, he doesn't age at the same rate as everyone else.
That makes sense.
Anyway, Jimmy Olsen has come to find Superman to tell him that he is humanity's only hope because we're entering a time where Lex Luthor has achieved world domination.
Dang.
Where he now controls pretty much everything. He's the richest man in the world by far. He has his hand in politics. Every politician is basically owned by him. He can basically do whatever he wants. And essentially he has captured all of the Justice League on different charges he's managed to make up.
Dang.
And also, like, at this point in the universe, everyone is well aware of the fact that there are aliens and everything. Right. And he's been stoking the fear of aliens as a means to get control.
Okay.
And he wants to wage war on a nearby alien nation so they could colonize their planet. Because, of course, our planet is on the verge of death at this point. And so,
makes sense.
What Lex Luthor is about to do is he is about to essentially level Metropolis. He's about to destroy it. Just burn, explode the whole thing to the ground, and then blame it on this planet that he wants to invade.
Oh, nice.
And Jimmy has come to say that, I think you're our last hope. It took us forever to find you, but we need you to come back. And Superman, he has retreated from the world for like the past 30, 40 years.
Dang.
And so... how this movie is structured is Jimmy Olsen is trying to convince Superman that humanity is worth saving.
Dang.
And intercut with Jimmy Olsen and Superman's discussion is going to be flashbacks of how we got up to this point.
Nice.
And so a lot of the movie takes place in the 1960s.
Hey!
Yep. Yep. So that's about the time period we're going to enter this in. And we want it shot really bright, shot on film. And we even want like some of the practical and computer effects to look kind of like the old school Superman movies.
That's cool. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But we're going to see how Superman got to the point where he is now. So we're opening on Superman as he's walking into Metropolis for the first time. So... up until this point, we aren't going to show all of the origin stuff. But of course, like, you know, he crash landed, was raised by parents in a small farm, and he's moving to the big city.
Yeah.
And he's at his first day on the job of the Daily Planet.
Dang. It's crazy how similar ours
yeah,
are.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's getting drinks with some people after, and they're like, so what brings you to Metropolis? And he's like, well, it's really exciting. There's a lot going on. I feel like this is where I could do the most good. And he's just a, you know, Boy Scout goody two shoes. And then on his way back from this dinner, somebody's getting mugged. And within a flash, he jumps into a phone booth because
nice.
We have those.
Yes.
Changes into the Superman costume, saves this woman from the mugger.
Nice.
And everyone's like, whoa, who is this guy in this suit? And it's like, wow, it's a man, but he's super. And then the Daily Planet starts doing stories about him.
Oh,
Superman
dude.
Is going all around saving people. And Clark Kent is writing one of these stories, which... you know, it's a fun dynamic. He just
funny,
gets to
yeah.
write good things about himself.
That's really funny.
I always like that dynamic about Spider-Man. Spider-Man just gets to make himself
look good.
And
yeah,
then
yeah,
get
yeah.
paid for it. But as he's turning in one of his big Superman stories, he meets this journalist who's just the talk of the Daily Planet, but she's been on vacation for the past 2 weeks. But it's Lois Lane.
Ooh.
And it's immediately love at first sight with them. And Jimmy Olsen trying to convince old Superman is like, you've forgotten what it truly means to be human. At one point you wanted to be human, you know? That's the interesting thing about Superman, is that he isn't of this planet, but he saw enough beauty in humanity at one point that he wanted to not only live on the planet, but he wanted to fully go undercover and live a normal life as a human. And whenever he had to do Superman stuff, he tried to keep that completely separate from his human life.
Yeah.
So at one point you saw all this and it's like, yeah, but humanity, as much good things as there are, they never last. And then this is the point in the flashback where we introduce a young Lex Luthor. And I guess everybody is, again, their late 20s, early 30s at this point. So they can, kind of still be alive when we...
Yeah, the early years of Superman, I think he leaves Smallville at like 18 or whatever.
Yeah. But a young Lex Luthor is trying to come up in politics and business and all that. And immediately a shuttle crashes onto Earth. And out pops a General Zod. And of course, we still want this filmed kind of like a 1960s, 1970s movie.
Yeah.
So I'm even thinking like a corny UFO type thing.
That's sick.
General Zod has that classic like alien suit. it's just like a gray jumpsuit with random pipes and stuff that really don't go anywhere.
That's very funny.
They all got the transatlantic accent too.
Oh yeah, well, of course.
Yeah. And, of course, General Zod is trying to wield havoc on Metropolis, and Superman stops him. But Lex Luthor realizes that the threat of aliens could be a great tool to control people through fear. But meanwhile, he has also managed to get a hold of the shuttle that Zod came down. And this is where he gets the first bit of kryptonite.
Okay, cool.
It's now Lex Luthor is like, okay, we found their weakness. And so Lex Luthor uses this technology to eventually create his own army. And he's being a lot more subtle about it. Like, we don't know Lex Luthor. We just know Lex Luthor as this face of business. He's like an Elon Musk type person, which is also why the Lex Luthor dynamic works so well, is because... We have a lot of billionaires we don't like at this point in humanity. But Superman, of course, throughout all this, he is trying to defeat General Zod, but he's also trying to keep the anti-alien rhetoric at bay. He just wants peace for everybody. But he and Lois Lane's romance is like moving along pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And at some point he has to tell her that he is Superman. And after this conversation, we come back and we see more of Jimmy and old Superman. And Jimmy is essentially trying to like tug at Superman's heartstrings, trying to get him to remember this romantic relationship that he had. And it's like, there are millions of people out there in Metropolis just like that mean as much to people as Lois meant to you. And Superman, he still can't bear to come out of the cave. And the way he's talking, we start to get the feeling that Lois Lane, he lost her, that she's dead. Anyway, when we cut back to the flashbacks, it's now maybe like the 1980s or something, so everything's a little more advanced. But we get to play around with the fun like 80s film tropes and everything. But anyway, Lex Luthor, with the help of the alien technology, he has managed to advance his technology a lot. This is where we're starting to get into alt history, it's essentially like if AI was invented in the 80s instead of now, like where would we be right now, you know?
Dead.
Pretty much, yeah. Yeah. But Lex Luthor is starting to create this secret army that's wreaking havoc on Metropolis, and Superman is trying to stop them. But the big event that happens here is, since the technology is advancing a lot, they're starting to get like facial recognition tech and everything. And up until this point, we've been doing the secret identity stuff, Superman having the double life. But I also want to play into the fact that in 2024, that disguise just is not working.
No.
And immediately when the face tech like gets really popular, immediately everybody knows that Clark Kent is Superman.
That's funny. You could do a, well, maybe not in this movie, but yeah. There's a funny gag where like Superman's face unlocks Clark Kent's phone. Everybody's like, hey, what? Yeah. They do look alike.
Yeah, I mean it's still the 80s, but they don't have the iPhones yet. Yeah, but they do. Yeah. Actually, it gets out that Clark Kent is Superman, and Clark Kent's life is completely upended by this. Mm. But the public opinion is still pretty 50-50 on aliens and everything. Mm. And we're getting to the point where the other superpowered individuals are starting to come up, and things both look doomed and really hopeful at the same time, because the first iteration of the Justice League is starting to form.
Oh, that's cool.
But Lex Luthor has done a lot of damage to the point that, you know, at one point in the past, Superman would save the day. We'd get the woo-woo-woo theme, and yeah. Then everybody would cheer. And at this point, Superman save somebody from the Lex Luthor soldiers, and everyone's booing Superman. People don't want Superman to be around. The very people that Superman is trying to save have turned on him, and it's getting to the point where Lois Lane is really fearing for her safety. And essentially what happens is Lex Luthor is making one big move to just completely take over, to outlaw superheroes, to ban aliens and like try to declare war and set up the Earth as a major superpower mm-hmm. in the galaxy. That's his goal, and he wants to be at the top of all that. And he's found a way to mass produce kryptonite too, so it's getting harder for Dang. Superman to defeat him. And the big thing is Lex Luthor eventually manages to kidnap Lois Lane. And so our midpoint is Superman trying to save Lois Lane.
I did the same
I know. But in this universe, he goes to Lex Luthor's giant skyscraper, and he doesn't manage to save her. He barely makes it out himself.
Dang.
And back to the conversation with Jimmy Olsen and Superman. Superman is like, see, this is why I left you. You know, there you talk about all this beauty and humanity, but all humans do is destroy. Like, the defining quality of Earth is entropy, because where I come from, things last, but here things fade away quickly, and humanity is just dead set on speeding that up as fast as possible. And as much love and beauty as there is, one day it will all be gone, and I can't stand to lose anyone else like I lost her. And then this is when Jimmy is like, you didn't know, you didn't lose Lois. She's a tough cookie over there. She still talks a little 60s, you know, it's like, she's a tough broad over there. She managed to escape Lex Luthor. And how do we think I found you? She's been leading the resistance back in Metropolis.
Nice.
And you need to help us out. And this is when Superman finally decides that he's going to go back to Metropolis. And so
nice.
The second half of this movie is him trying to get back in and help this little resistance. And Metropolis is caught in a weird spot, because it's more bigger and beautiful than it's ever been before. Mm-hmm. But there are only a few people that are actually living really well. Like, most of the streets of Metropolis are just covered in people struggling, homelessness, mm-hmm. people that could barely afford their cheap apartments and everything. And there's a lot of anger, and everybody's scared of the next alien attack that's going to happen due to the Lex Luthor propaganda and all mm-hmm. that. And there are these robot cops that patrol the streets now. And
dang,
Superman and Jimmy are trying to form a plan to get to the center of Lex Luthor's giant skyscraper, where members of the Justice League are held captive. And Superman still hasn't gotten a chance to see Lois yet. Like, we just hear about her, but the Resistance is having such a hard time. They're very fractured. They could barely meet with each other. Communication is really sparse. But, you know, we have this big kind of heist moment where they're sneaking into Lex Luthor's lair, and they're trying to disable all the kryptonite so Superman can still have his powers. And at one point he shaves the beard and puts the suit back on, and he flies through the city just as a big statement that I'm here and you better watch out. But also see it, like, hope. To give the people hope, to try to get the people to rise up and help them in this. And also as a little distraction so the intel team can kind of sneak through the back door, the lair or whatever. But then the big climax is everybody has gotten to the Lex Luthor Tower, and they managed to free, like, the Flash or somebody. And so we get a few more heroes. And Lex Luthor still manages to, like, kind of defeat Superman again because he's got so much kryptonite in this room. But Superman, right before he's about to get killed, manages to get saved by Lois Lane, and Lois Lane convinces him that he still needs to push, he still needs to save humanity. And Superman is like why should I save the very people that destroyed what we had? Like, you saw what humans did to us. And it's like, well, humans, they have good hearts, but they need something to model, something to embody, a symbol of hope, you know? And the problem we have now is it's the selfish people. It's the people with ill intentions, the angry people, the bitter people that have managed to get their message out. But the message of hope is one that could permeate all of that. And that's what you used to be. And I think there's still room for that. And so Superman manages to join all the Justice League and Lois, and Jimmy maybe even gets some powers at this point.
Go Jimmy!
And I haven't figured out exactly how, but they're going to defeat Lex Luthor. Yeah. There's that. Metropolis is saved.
That's good, man. I'm gonna be real. That's probably not too far off what Superman Legacy would probably be like.
You think so?
Because I mean, they've casted Jimmy Olsen.
Yeah. Wait, who's Jimmy Olsen?
That little freak from Righteous Gemstones and what's his name?
Oh wait, is he the guy?
The redheaded kid.
Yeah. Oh, what is his name?
Skyler. Skyler something.
Okay.
But yeah, he's playing Jimmy Olsen. They got the Marvelous Miss Maisel actress playing Lois Lane.
I saw that.
I imagine they're going to do like transatlantic accents.
Yeah.
David Cornsweet is Superman.
Yeah.
So it's probably not too far off. You also, it's very similar to The Incredibles.
A little thematically. Yeah. But I was, kind of where I'm coming from is like, I like the angle of seeing the 60s and then flashing forward to a more grizzled Superman. Because the thing about Superman is he pretty much is more powerful than everyone. Like, you have kryptonite, but that's like the one thing.
It's one thing.
Yeah. And you just get the kryptonite away and he could defeat anyone anyway, barely without lifting a finger. And so, like, what makes Lex Luthor his most formidable foe and what would be the main conflict in a Superman movie is trying to destroy his spirit as opposed to
his body.
Yeah.
Dude, and what I also really like about it is it's kind of like the perfect just like standalone history of Superman.
Yeah.
Like literally and fictionally.
Yeah.
Because it's like you see him in the different time periods of how like us as audiences saw him as a character.
Yeah.
And that's how like the people in the fictional world saw him as a hero.
Yeah. And it's also like my statement for what I think Superman could be, because we've seen the idyllic 60s version, which that just kind of blind idealism doesn't get us anywhere. But also the grizzled pessimistic version especially isn't good for us.
Right.
It's like we need some like new thing. We need to recognize Superman for what he can be, just the symbol that all of humanity is worth it.
Yeah, what he can be, but also looking at what he used to be.
Yeah.
which I just think is so cool.
Yeah.
You saw him when he was just the kind of blind hope that doesn't do anybody any good. You see him when he's dark and gritty, and then you see what he is, what we need him to be now.
Yeah.
That's sick, dude. Yeah. This is a good movie.
Yeah. Also, because part of why I love this so much and why I can't wait to see what they do in Superman Legacy. Is Lex Luthor in that movie?
Yeah, played by...
By Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt.
Yeah.
Again, great cast.
Yeah. I'm curious to see what they do because Lex Luthor kind of is like the ultimate villain for 2024. Because it feels like we have... real life versions of like down to that video of Jeff Bezos laughing at the robot arms, you know, literally Lex Luthor.
So that's what they did with Man of Steel and everybody hated it, right? Uh-huh. Or Batman, whichever one had
I think it was Batman v Superman.
Yeah, and it had Jesse Eisenberg as like everybody hates his Lex Luthor. What a perfect Lex Luthor for our time. Because he's just
Mark Wahlberg. Zuckerberg. Big difference.
Yeah, he's just Mark Zuckerberg.
That's a good statement. But now I am imagining Mark Wahlberg in The Social Network.
Oh, man. It's called the Facebook. Hey, thank you guys so much for watching this. You can vote for which one that you liked more. You can vote down in the comments below if you're watching this on YouTube. Or if you're listening to the podcast version, you can go over to our Instagram. There will be a post with kind of promoting this episode. And you can comment your vote in the comments there.